Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, it's just Kristen and I because we are still a little bit numb from last week's guest on our show. So we decided it would just be the two of us delivering amazing advice. The main thing that we talk about this week is how important balance is to women. We talk about confidence, how to build confidence, how to practice getting confidence, and exactly what you can do in your day-to-day life to get a little bit more confident every single day. So keep listening.
Hey, you guys, welcome to the Ask Women podcast. It's your hosts, Kristen Carney and Marnie Kinross, and we're alone today, and we apologize for any sort of echo that's happening. We've moved offices, and so we're trying to work out somewhere better so that this...
And we apologize for last week's show. That's
why
That's why we just have the two of us, because I am still... like hurting from that. I don't even know the right word to use from it. Not shock, frustrated. I don't even know what it is.
I need a vacation.
Yeah.
Like an actual.
Yeah. That was the most wearing show. Like I could see it on your, you could see it on my face. God. You actually hit it really well. I wasn't sure that you were irritated, but I was purposely rolling my eyes very largely so that somebody could get the hint that this was not the way to act.
Well, after when I was listening to it, and not that I could listen to the whole thing, but I thought, God damn it, Kristen, why didn't you speak up? Like, why didn't you
because
say...
Because we're trying to be polite to our guests. This person volunteered to come onto our show. We don't need to bash them.
Exactly.
We bash
However,
them after they leave the room.
Right. However, it is our show. And so it's our duty to have a decent show.
Yes.
And then that's our names connected to a guy who's acting like a whack job.
Yeah.
And it was seemed to be intentional, like a shtick. Like, you can't be like that 24 hours
I
a day.
Think he is.
And I did actually look up his wife.
Did
I was
you?
Like, who is
who
the,
is married to this person?
Either also crazy person or saint married to this guy. Mm-hmm. She looked so nice.
Oh.
And she deserves the world's longest vacation.
I bet you he is so nice as well. I do think it was a shtick for him.
I do too. He's a commercial
shtick,
actor.
I have no idea what it is.
He's a commercial actor. I don't, zany, weird, just trying to be.
It didn't make sense. So therefore it's not helping his shtick
right.
at all. My point is that we're not going to go on a long-winded thing about this because you want to hear about women, how to get them, how to be with them, whatever. I want to apologize. We want to apologize for last week's show. We did debate whether or not to air that show, but I did think, or we did think, that there was some good information in there.
Marnie
thought
so.
The information was, you know, how to go about pissing off women. And exactly what he did is exactly what you should know.
Yeah, which is not answer questions the way a normal human being would answer a question.
Exactly. So that's the end of that conversation.
And don't do 5 million different voices if she's in a bad mood.
Oh, my God. Be absolutely horrendous. Can you imagine if you like had a problem, emotional problem, you came to your husband, he was like, like doing all of those things. You want to kill yourself. Anyway, here's something else that's annoying, and it'll be annoying for
but
men
this is
to listen
from
to.
The women's side.
The women's
so
side. Yes.
We had really annoying man, and now we're going to really annoying woman, but she's not on the show, so we can control the level of
exactly. Well, somebody, this guy named Norbert sent me this, and it, I don't know if he wrote this or if he said
Norbert?
It was from a woman writing
That's
this.
That's an amazing
Norbert,
name.
I know, it's interesting. Sounds like a cartoon name.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But
like
he's like
not a
Dilbert
cartoon, he's a real
something.
Person. Yeah, exactly like Dilbert. But it'll really annoy you to listen to this because this is what either he thinks that most women think or he did find this out there that some woman wrote this about. Just be yourself. I like men, this is in quotes, I like men who are vulnerable. I also like men who are somewhat unattainable. I want you to be a combination of both. But I want you to be more of one than the other when I want you to be. But I don't want you to ask me which one you're supposed to be at any given time, because if you ask me what you're supposed to be, I'll lose respect for you. And I don't want you to try and be the right mix of those two poles to win me over. An attractive guy will do it correctly, automatically, without trying, without instruction, because it's in his nature. It's a Zen-like succeeding without trying.
You know what? I think that was Damien's wife, and it drove him to how he is now.
Probably.
He just went cuckoo.
I think you're right.
That is really
well,
frustrating.
What do you think about that? Because there is truth in that.
Oh, definitely. But the matter of fact way in which she's stating it without saying, listen, I know this is probably not super doable for 99% of you, but this is what I want. At least do some sort of warning or disclaimer.
Right.
Because women do want you to be those things without having to say it. However, women also want the moon.
Right. Basically giving people
romance.
Not to ever listen to our show because they'll realize they should become celibate and gay.
No, because every woman, when they hear us speak, they realize every woman's not like that.
Right.
And I think when we do have women on the show, I think they're all relatively sane.
Yeah.
So I don't think most women are giving this opinion.
But there, because I'll say something. So I am in a 14, 15 year relationship. 10 years of marriage, whatever it is. And there is something in me with the position I'm at with my husband where I'm like, I want you to just do this without me. But it's not about like picking up after yourself. It's just, I don't want to have to tell you how to treat me. I want you to just own your shit and not try and do it for me.
But so I think what you're in is a different phase. I think what this woman is looking for, how a guy should be on a date or how to sweep her off her feet.
But it's the same position of any woman, whether she's on the first date or she's deep into a relationship, where she's like, I don't want you to cater to me. I want you to just do you.
But you have to be what I want it to be.
But if they just do them, it'll help them fulfill this list of
what
things
she wants.
That she's looking for. The more that men cater to women in what they think that they want, the more it bites them in the ass. And I'm finding that to be very true, especially when you do get deeper into relationships and into marriage.
Well, I'm finishing up this banter thing, and last night was taping up.
Which is very good, by the way. I was very impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully it is, because I spent so much time on it. I was breaking down a real-life banter online, and one of the things that I talked about was the fact that he had like a really off-color joke. And what was so great about it was that he wasn't looking for permission from her to tell this off-color joke. He balanced it out with other things, with other sweetness and, or, you know, being sweet and complimentary and other things, so he could kind of go down this route. But what was so great about that move was that he wasn't waiting to find out if that was her sense of humor or to cater to whatever her sense of humor was. This was his, and it wasn't an off-color joke as in like a bad joke. It was really, really, really funny, but semi-distasteful in a funny way. It wasn't like just a shitty, gross joke. And that was, I mean, to me, that would have been such a turn on, because I was like, whoa, this guy is brazen and he's doing his own thing. And like, who cares if she's on board? He's him. So that's what women are looking for. They're
with
looking
the balance
for,
of, as you just said.
With the balance.
See, this sounds so annoying. I want you to be completely.
No, but it is. Everything in life is about balance. Everything, including your personality. Like Damien had no balance. Whoa.
Yeah.
You know, if he was too monotone, he would have been off on the other spectrum of no. You know, so everything needs to have this balance. And so.
I do have this one client right now who I honestly, sometimes I think that he makes stuff up, that the questions that he asked me, are you really asking this? But I do notice that when he tells me how he speaks to women, or in the past, actually, he's not doing that much anymore, but he would always be brutally honest. And that's not appreciated by most people, but especially women when you're in a relationship with them. And that's another example of like being only one way and not having a balance. He would be brutally honest without the balance of being kind as well. And I think that this is a really good point, that what we are looking for is a balance from you and even from ourselves. I think the reason we put so much onto men of what we want from them is because we're putting a lot of pressure onto ourselves. And most often, it's how we act towards other women and what we believe or think that we're giving to men that we also want in return, which I don't know if it's a good
thing. So you're saying women are putting out, look, this is what I can do and what I'll give you and how we can be, like they're giving this whole spectrum and men aren't. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I have to think about this a little bit more. I kind of wanted to hash it out on the show, because when he initially sent me this list, I was like, this sucks, because it's very true.
this list of what she said?
I think for a lot of women, even when I hear women come over and complain to me about their boyfriend or complain to me about a guy that they're dating, they're like, oh, but I want him to be this and I want him to do that. I want him to do this on his own. Or like, it is this long request list of, I want him to be perfect without me telling him how to be perfect. And perfection can look different for every single woman. But overall, I think that you broke it down really well, where what we're saying is I want you to own your shit while still being kind and respectful towards me.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's really complicated and it's really simple at the same time. I think the issue of her, what she was saying is, I want you to be yourself. Wasn't that the opening or the whole point of her message was like, be you?
Yeah.
Just be you.
Just be yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, I think really what it is, it's be you, but a heightened great version of you.
Yeah. Because her first sentence is, I like men who are vulnerable. I also like men who are somewhat unattainable. So vulnerable doesn't mean that you're like gushing to a woman how much you love her and that you're not going to look at another woman and that she's the only woman you can think of. It just means having the ability to open up a little bit and not feel like you have to be this stoic, cold man with absolutely no emotions. So I think...
But what she wants is someone who's unattainable, which is someone who seems stoic with no emotions. So you have to show both sides.
Right.
And I think a really good way to do that is a social setting, because when you're with a woman, you're just with her, you can show your vulnerable side. But then when you're in a social setting with other friends, you can show more of that stoic masculine, this is how I deal with people in the world. This is how I deal with you in the softer, yeah, more
caring. How would
caring
a guy
way.
Do this on a first date? How would he show that he values himself and that he is not even unattainable, but that he's not into her immediately and all for her without actually knowing anything about her, but as well show that he's a little bit vulnerable? How would somebody do this on a first date?
So you don't gush over her. You don't flatter her with a million compliments. You don't act like this is the only place in the world that you want to be.
Or the only option.
But then you also act kind and offer to, you know, buy her her drink, or what does she like to drink, or let me order for you, or something like that, where it shows.
Where's the vulnerable side, though?
The vulnerable side can come in conversation. And so when you're talking, like we talked a long time ago on an episode about men doing lists, and they do more sharing in terms of lists or something. Like they don't tell stories, they give bullet points.
Yes, highlights.
So instead of giving bullet points, go into depth. Why did you enjoy that movie when you were 8 years old with your dad?
Yeah.
You know, something that shows that you have a history and depth and love and care, but then you're like, you know, not looking at your watch, but you're like, all right, let's, you know, I'd love to do this again, but don't sit there for 3 hours.
Right.
You know, hour and a half, something like that, and then go out on a high note.
I agree with that. I think maybe vulnerability needs a little bit more explanation. So it's not about crying on a date and being vulnerable in that way, but it's about saying something out loud that may not seem strong or may not put you in the best light. So if I were to say, when I was out with you, like let's say you and I are having a great time while we're out and I seem super confident or whatever, and I look over at you and you say, you know what, these events kind of freak me out sometimes. I get a little bit nervous before we go and talk to people.
Right.
That's being vulnerable, because that's saying a truth. Like, that's what's really going on for me. And I'm saying it in a confident way, but I'm telling you, I'm kind of nervous on the inside.
Yeah.
But I can still...
But you can handle yourself.
I can handle myself.
You're not, your pits aren't full of 8 pounds of sweat.
Yeah, but that's me being a little bit vulnerable, because I'm letting you in some way to like what's really going on inside of me.
Right. And I think that's good in a setting that is maybe like a group event or a date. You could say that one-on-one on a date, you know?
You know, I'm so nervous.
I get really nervous on dates.
Yeah.
But vulnerability, like I just mentioned, like telling that story of, you know, the reason you love this movie that you saw with your dad when you were 8, that's also vulnerability. Yeah. You're not crying about it. You're not going, oh my God, I miss my dad, I want to go to the movies. Right. Even though that's what you want to do, maybe, really want to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just showing that you find pleasure in relationships and find meaning in your, you know, with your parents. I don't know. That is a That's a way without showing weakness, because like you were just saying, showing weakness, saying, oh, you know, these events kind of scare me. I think that shows a weakness, which is vulnerability, and it's just good. But I don't think all vulnerability has to show in a weakness. It can be, you know, I'm just a huge fan of milking cows.
Right.
Or something, you know, saying something. That's Marnie's dream, by the way. So saying something like that.
Isn't it really sad that I've talked about this and I have not done it?
No, I mean, if we lived in Omaha, I'd be like, go milk a freaking cow. But we're in LA. There's not that many cows.
I could find a farm. I've got kids. They should want to milk a cow too.
Yeah.
I know.
Google it.
We do have an old neighbor that did have a farm. I don't know if she has cows, but she has horses. We did go in Chicago recently. They have a free farm there and zoo that you can go to. And they did show the cows hooked up to these automatic machines being milked.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for them.
It's weird.
It's awful. It's like really I've had to pump for my children and it fucking sucks. They have to do this like every single day for hours on end. People like sucking the milk out of them.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I know. Well, my cousins, you know, I mean, go on, but yeah, my cousins have a really state-of-the-art high-tech farm and like there's a lot of pride in there. I know there's some like pushback against the dairy industry, but my cousins love their cows. They have like 4,000 cows or something like that. They have this like massive setup and they love their cows, but their cows are hooked up to those things, but they're cared for really well. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if they know the difference.
That's all I would have wanted while I was pumping for my babies. If I had like a hug while I was doing it, I would have been very
but this is a vulnerable thing. Like you could share something like that. Mm-hmm. You want, if you're a guy and you're an adult man and you're on a date, you're like, you know, there's something I really want to do my whole life.
Yeah. It's
milk a cow.
Yeah. That's a vulnerable thing.
I mean, it could be perverse, but.
Oh, right.
No, but you could share. So. No, you could share something like that. That's a really great way. You can still be a very strong man who, you know, takes
I've
care of business.
To do this.
And you just sneak in something
I've
like
to wear high heel shoes and in thongs. Is that weird?
No. My dad did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I want to get to some questions from our listeners because I'm sure people are very bored about hearing about cows right now. But I think that was. I mean, every so often we do sort of break down and discuss those things. But I think it's really important for men because I don't want them to just think that we are crazy, unpleasable, because we're not. And we can understand it so well because we're women. And I hope that we've done a good explanation of that statement. I'm not even doing a good explanation right now. But do you think we broke it down properly so that men can actually understand this? I feel like you're like my sounding board.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think that no matter what, men will be frustrated.
Yeah.
And so I think my advice would be to forget that you ever heard that statement. And I know it sounds difficult, but just be yourself and be a very kind version of yourself. If you happen to have a little bit of a wall, and then if you happen to be too kind, put up a little bit of a wall. It's just the balance.
Yeah.
But don't think too much about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you have to think about it in the very beginning, but then it will become automated for you.
Yeah.
So I have this one client who was saying he has been in a relationship for 17 years. That just ended. And he's very worried about not becoming too agreeable. What did he say? Maybe it was kind of like becoming too agreeable on dates and that he'll be seen as somebody who's very inexperienced. And he said, how do you stop that? And I said, well, stop being so agreeable.
Yeah.
And it does take you being an active participant and being aware of these things and thinking about it in the beginning process.
To realize that
you're being too agreeable and then to actually stop it. The first step is always noticing that something's going on. If you can notice it, then that means you can have control over it. So let's say you're on a date and you notice, oh, I am being very agreeable. You can make a note to stop, sit back in your chair and not to negate everything moving forward, but to avoid being too agreeable. So instead of being too agreeable, you can add your own take on something. So having an opinion on something. And for right now, it's just practice to get out of this agreeable pattern. And even if you do not have a strong opinion about something, practice having a strong opinion.
Well, I mean, I in that banter thing, I talk about how opinions are so important. And I would say that not all opinions of yours need to be negative or, you know, against what hers are. But I said, I think I would give it like 60%, like, you know, positive opinions toward things, 40% you are discerning
your own take.
And you have, you know, because if it's
100%, again, I go back to the balance. If it's 100% and you're being agreeable, blah. And if it's 0% and you're never agreeable, oh my God,
you're
also
like a
blah.
Negative Debbie Downer, horrible person.
Yeah.
Who's just angry.
Yeah. So again, it's like a, it's a,
it is a fine balance.
Yeah. It's just the balance. Actually, I wanted to mention this. Some guy hit me up and he was like, I've been having a hard time dating. What am I doing wrong? Will you just, he said, you kind of have a no holds bar take on things. Just look at my online profiles and tell me what's wrong with me. So then before I even had a chance to do that, he emailed me back and said, well, I just actually went on a date. It went terribly. Here's the situation. And he said, oh my God, he said that, she didn't want to kiss him at the end. You know, like she definitely gave him that vibe. He ended up, well, he started off with saying, I took her to the most exclusive restaurant and got a private room. And then
why?
It just seems so braggadocio or whatever. And so then afterward, she didn't want to kiss him or anything. He sent her a $250 bouquet of flowers and a $500 spa package.
Who is this guy? I'll
I know. I know. But I was just like,
I'll reject him.
Holy. I know. Holy shit. He is the guy that we mentioned before that almost has this cartooned version of what he thinks women want. And so I just wanted to talk about that real quick because I don't think guys, it's like if you take a crayon and you just lightly color with the crayon, it's like a regular medium, you know, regular light shade. But his he just took the crayon and just like as hard as he could all over everything. And I don't want men to do that because you're cartoonizing women. And not that I'm being feministy here, but women aren't as cliche as you think we are. Like a bouquet of flowers for women doesn't always do it for us. A day at the spa doesn't always do it for us. We want to connect to you. If we're not connected to you, a day at the spa and a package of flowers is great, but we'll never speak to you again. So I don't
know.
That's
on you if you give it to us.
And exactly. And then you can't feel like she owes you something or like, oh, look at all that I did for her. I took her to the best restaurant. He wasn't bitter at all, but I think men could go in that direction.
Did we find out more about him, about how he was on the dates? Because all of these things can be wonderful if that's your lifestyle, who you are, how you live your life, and you're equally within the balance that you talked about before. Awesome.
Yeah, he looks like such a nice guy. And I told him, you know, I hate to even try to criticize you for anything because you look like such a wonderful human being. But the woman that he was on a date with, he said, had a very strong personality. She's like, I don't know if a CEO, but she's very high up at a very big company. And she talked the whole time. And all I could, after he explained that part, because he actually didn't explain it at the beginning. After he said that, I thought, wow, he probably was too agreeable. And he was probably way too much of a pushover for a woman like that. Mm-hmm. So in that circumstance, if he was into her, then you'd have to crank up your, you know, the balance. You'd want to throw your balance off a little bit. You wouldn't want to be totally agreeable in that situation. Because a woman like that wants to spar or wants to feel on the same level, and wants to feel challenge. Probably like a woman, which means that you have to be a little stronger than her. So if she's this powerful CEO-ish woman, being agreeable is not going to work in that scenario. And then especially if you...
And if that's not for you and that's exhausting for you, then that's a mismatch.
Right. But he seemed still interested in like, why didn't this go right?
Because I'm sure she's very impressive and I'm sure the things that she was talking about were very interesting, and why wouldn't you be hooked? But just think about that on the opposite end. Imagine if you were a woman and you were sitting across from a man like that. In that scenario, she would be in love with you. That woman would be in love with that man.
Right, right, right. Yeah. It's just different because for a woman and a man in the opposite, you know, in the scenario that they were in because of...
She wasn't feeling anything. She wasn't feeling a spark. She didn't feel feminine. She didn't feel challenged in any way. She didn't feel excited by him because I'm guessing, as you said, he was very agreeable and like monotone.
You could tell just such a nice, nice, nice guy.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you don't want to tell men not to be nice. But I said, what I said is, you know, like my boyfriend is the nicest guy in the entire world. He has the biggest heart of anyone. But he would never let anyone fuck with him or me.
That's
and that is
my
so sexy.
Too. Yeah,
it's so sexy. Mm-hmm. And so I said, do that. Show her that. And I don't, the problem is though, I don't know, like what scenario would he show her that in?
in any scenario, exactly what you were saying, by not being too agreeable, by not saying, oh, yeah, that's really cool, or oh, that's great, or yeah, I feel the same way. Oh, yeah, I think that as well. It's by saying, oh, that's really interesting. Actually, I had this situation where I did X, Y, and Z. It's sharing your own situations or your own stories, your own experiences, where those little specks of your personality can come out through the story, not necessarily by you being argumentative against what she is saying.
Right.
Because I'm sure your boyfriend in the very beginning, he wasn't just showering you with compliments. I think you even said that one of the first private messages that he sent to you was saying like something, I don't know if you want to share this, but like he was writing to you about Stevie and he had said, I had a similar experience. Like he was being vulnerable.
Yeah. Very vulnerable.
Yeah. But you had already seen this like really confident, bold side of him in things that he would put up on Twitter that you were already drawn into.
Yep.
And then for you to see that other side of him, you already knew that he was that person who didn't take shit from anybody
else. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a balance.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Should we take a little break before we get to overanalyzing some questions?
Yes, we should.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Kristen, and you've heard me mention this before, but I'm pretty sure that I'm losing the hair in the back, like top part. It's very nerve-wracking and really frustrating, really scary. I probably am just imagining it, but it's stressful regardless, so I can't imagine being a man and actually being in a scenario where this really, really could become a reality. So as you've heard me mention before, the brand Hims, they're amazing and they want to help you keep your hair. So what I want you to do is go to forhims.com/wants to get everything that you need to keep your hair for literally just $5. Do it today, right now, because it's way easier to keep the hair you already have than it is to regrow the hair that you've lost. So do it now. Go to forhims.com/wants. You have to see their website for full details, but I swear this would cost you hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. So forhims.com/wants. That's forhims.com/wants. Forhims.com/wants.
All right. We are back and we're going to dive into some questions and you're going to kill me if I repeat some of these, but I do not think I'm repeating any of them. Okay. So here it is. Back in mid-March, I met a girl who snowboards. I'm addicted to shredder girls from New Zealand who was spending the summer in Jackson Hole until the start of April. Did not get too much time with her before she went back to the bottom of the world. But we have been talking to each other a super duper long distance, 8,000 miles from Wyoming to Queensland, New Zealand, every now and then, once every 3 to 5 days.
Talking like on the phone, do you think?
No, I'm guessing they're just texting.
Okay.
I don't know. We're keeping it casual, not being text buddies, but sharing cool things when they pop up every now and then. She's going to be at the ski resort for an 80% portion of the upcoming 2018 to 2019 winter at Jackson Hole again, since she has bought her pass already and will be living right at the ski hill I ski at in the inexpensive hostel for the winter. It's too perfect. If I meet someone before, then that's fine and that's the end of it. But if I really don't meet anyone worthy before then, that lasts, what's the best way to stay casual and not fall into friend texting buddy traps?
Is his name Todd by chance?
Oh, shoot, did I read this one already?
Nope, I know this guy.
How do you know this guy? He wrote to you too?
He listens to Mentally Chill and he's written to us several times and he's obsessed with skiing.
That is so funny. Okay, fine. I'm not waiting for myself to return after Christmas. I'm living my life and doing whatever happens. Would you play this? I really have been using Kristen's Tinder bantering skills to the maximum. She is single and will be most likely single as well next winter when she returns. Just doing never-ending winter in Wyoming and winter then New Zealand in the summer. I'll admit, of all the Aussies and Kiwis I've known, they enjoy fun, lots of sun. I'm really working the long distance slow play and been trying to keep as casual as possible. Am I doing this right, Todd?
Okay, so what I know of Todd, we've Skyped before.
Oh, okay.
And he tends to, hi Todd, I think you're a super funny, nice guy, but Todd tends to bogart the conversation. So when we Skyped, which is great. I want him to be talking, you know, that was totally fine. He spoke 99.9% of the time, and I'm not exaggerating. So Todd, whatever you're doing with her, I love that you're sharing little things back and forth. if there is an opportunity to crank it up a little bit when she comes back, please, please, please let her speak and give her an opportunity to, I mean, maybe you let other women speak more than me, but I think that if you want to have success with her, if that's even where it's going, let her talk.
Okay.
So, but then in regards to what they're doing right now, I think it's fine to keep it at the state because she's 8,000 miles away.
Yeah.
And if it is only sharing something every few days.
Yeah, 3 to 5 days.
3 to 5 days, like something that, you know, you both thought was funny or something like that. I think she probably would engage more if she wanted it to be more serious at this moment. So if you start engaging more, I don't think that's a good move. And I would wait until you're back in person to see if there's a deeper or further connection.
Yeah. It's hard to say this, but like, don't increase the frequency unless it's naturally going
right,
that way.
Exactly.
Because you guys are engaged in a good conversation. Like don't focus on, okay, every 3 to 5 days, I have to text her and make sure that she's responding to me. If it goes 10 days, that's fine. If it goes 15 days, a month, that's fine. As you said before, you're going with the flow. You're focusing on your life. And she is coming back in whatever, probably November of 2018. So you'll have that other opportunity. The only way that you would get into like friend texting zone is if you start to talk a lot more and you're not flirting over text, bantering over text, sort of like just sharing stuff and telling her about your day and telling her, or she's telling you about guys that she's, that's the only way that it can get into like the friendly space. Cause it sounds like right now you're just sort of staying in contact, which I think is totally fine. It's not going to ruin anything for you. But again, if it starts to dwindle, like let it dwindle.
Yeah. I mean, if you increase what you're doing now, the problem is it will probably fizzle because you won't see her until November, before right. November. So if anything, you want to possibly increase as the day gets closer and not force it. But if all of a sudden it naturally is taking that.
Which is with her responding back with more than just ha 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 or oh, like with simple like one sentence responses that don't open it up to a larger conversation. If she's actually taking an active interest in like getting to know more, asking you questions, engaging more in the conversation, then you can slowly follow her lead and do the same thing back and see if it escalates a bit into something more. And she may be thinking the same thing. She may be thinking, you know, we're at a distance right now. I was interested in him before. I'll keep like my finger on him for right now. And then we'll see when we get back to being together.
Yeah.
That's what we both think. Okay. Good morning, girls. You may, why is there very long things?
I know. So long.
You may or may not remember me. Marnie, I think we did 2 Skype consults about my approach anxiety, etc. I was listening to, this is actually a really good point. I was listening to one of your recent shows about the probably Latino guy, Ricardo, and how he feels he's not worthy because he's short and does not feel he's cool enough for women here in the U.S. This is actually a piece of advice from this person, which I think was really helpful. I immediately noticed a lot of the parallel issues I had been and still am dealing with. Wanted to drop a few thoughts for his benefit and maybe any other of your listeners who are nice guy immigrants. As you might remember, I'm an MD born in Egypt, and it sounds like Ricardo has a good career going for him too because he asked if he should focus on it instead. However, I still didn't feel that I was cool or worthy enough, even though many people's jaws drop when they know I'm a sub-specialized physician. I think the issue is that people in the U.S., especially guys, are generally brought up to be so assertive it borders on hostility. Add to that a big Ford F-350 truck if you happen to live in the South like I do, and big Trump sticker on your truck, and you get the picture. People in third world countries, and again, I know I'm generalizing, are raised to be aware that many other countries are more advanced and richer, so we don't naturally have that swagger and cockiness. Plus, having brown skin in a largely racist country doesn't help with confidence either. I know it's my own insecurity, but there's some truth in this for everyone. I agree. So we come here, focus on our careers, since it's the only thing we know what to do to make ourselves better in the U.S., but we still don't know how to work on ourselves. Confidence, our social confidence. Add to that a first name that in my case, people don't know how to pronounce and it gets more awkward. Although DJ Khalid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
Has made...
No, I think it's DJ Khaled.
Is it Khaled?
It is Khaled, yeah.
Okay, DJ.
It's Khaled.
See, well, Well, we're both it's nerds. Help for somebody. Although DJ Khaled has made life a lot easier for me now, making my name more familiar. What I'm trying to say is he is, like I was and still am to a lesser extent, afraid of other guys or of bitchy women. And that's in large part why he feels insecure and not confident enough picking up and approaching women. So what has worked to improve things a lot for me is to focus a lot on doing other activities beyond my career and enhance my social confidence and make my own life a lot more rich and fun, which is what we talk about all the time on this show. So I joined a tennis club and I've been playing regularly with a group of people, which I enjoy tremendously. Plus, having constant friendly competition boosts your fighting spirit in general. Most importantly, and I save these last two for last intentionally, you need to be confident about your physical fighting abilities because that gives you more of that cocky edge that shows in your overall behavior and attitude. Not that you'll ever need to get in a fist fight, but I have been lifting weights consistently, joined a group fitness gym, CrossFit style, so you're always being pushed by coaches, and with physical endurance comes more confidence, plus a chance to get into more women. And I have taken up martial arts, especially Krav Maga. What's special about Krav Maga? Krav Maga, did I say that wrong?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, really? It's like an Israeli fighting technique. And wow. Now it's, there's huge classes in Los Angeles.
Krav Maga. Oh, okay.
Oh, interesting.
Wow, never heard of it.
I know something that you don't know. What's special about Krav or anything in its category is that it is focused on street fighting, not showmanship like karate.
Ooh, that's kind of badass.
You're learning to get into close, one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat. Although I might still get my ass kicked, if I ever get into a fight, I know I can fight someone now. And even standing in the Starbucks line, if there's a guy with a bad attitude or acting cocky to other people, I think to myself, what an asshole. I bet I can take him if I have to, which is the opposite of the social programming of most third world immigrants who are raised to be polite and classy. I loved this.
Yeah, this is great.
So Ricardo needs to work on his physical strength, muscular appearance, and prowess to enhance his badass inner physique. Hope that makes... Oh, psyche. Sorry.
Inner physique. Yeah. But that could work too.
Badass inner psyche. Hope that makes sense. This is my personal experience. I normally don't write long emails like this because it takes too much time to reread and edit. But just because I like you, Marnie,
aww,
I did it. Hope you, your husband, and the baby are doing great.
That's
Khalid.
I love that.
I think that's perfect.
Thanks, Khaled.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we say it right. So yeah. Khaled, hi. I really, 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 really liked what he said. And yeah, not that I can relate. I'm a white girl from upstate New York. However, his third world take does apply kind of in a very small way to where I'm from. Because I'm from the middle of upstate New York. It's cow country. And our mentality is very similar to the third world country mentality, which is we don't really feel like we belong to the bigger picture of the working of the world. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
But well, it's like
half the country feels that way. So it yeah, makes sense.
We feel like we work for people. They don't work for us. Like we don't, we're not the bosses. We're the employees. And so I have a feeling it's a little bit of a similar situation. And I've been working out now for a month consistently, 5 days a week.
Wow. And I can see it.
Yeah, right. But really, it genuinely boosts your confidence. And it's so weird to say that. And because it's like, I don't want to fall into the like meathead category of just like, oh, I'm buff and I look great. And obviously I'm not buff, but it does something psychologically.
But you did punch that mailman out when you walked into my house.
Oh, I always punch mailmen. Yeah. But it does something where...
Especially classes like Krav Maga or jiu-jitsu, classes like that that are much more interactive. Because I don't know, are you taking classes?
No, but I'm feeling like a change in my swagger.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can. It's not even just the endorphins that are enhancing this. It's the fact that you're working on yourself, you're improving your body, and you have something that's part of your routine.
Right.
That for you, especially, you have something to get up for and do
right
during the day. Is really important and can help boost your confidence.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with everything that he said. I think these are wonderful tips that even if you're not an immigrant, but you do feel like you're the scrawny guy or you're like the guy that never gets noticed and you're white, I think that these things would be really helpful. Anything to help boost your confidence is wonderful. And you're not going to boost your confidence by sitting on the couch complaining about how you're not getting women or you're not making friends or people don't like you or you're too nice. You're going to gain confidence by practicing something, by putting your energy and efforts towards growing yourself, enhancing yourself, being a part of something, getting out into the social world. Like for me right now, I, you know, for the past 6 months was heavily focused on building our home, and I was in a bubble. But, and I was not a part of other things, but I did go to the gym and I made lots of other efforts to hang out with friends. But it did get me down a little bit. The fact that I didn't really feel like I was working on my confidence and getting out in the real world and interacting with people. So for me now, I've been doing things to get out of my bubble now that this process is all done. And it's definitely working. It's boosting my confidence. One other thing for boosting confidence, and this is about my son. So it was very cute. My son is very timid. And his teacher told us this. And, you know, for me as a parent to see this, because I was that way when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's so challenging for me. And because I do what I do. I'm like, how can he read my book?
Yeah, what program should he get?
Exactly. Like, it's very challenging because I keep thinking that I can feel what he's feeling. And the truth is, he's really not bothered. But the other night, he did say to me, or actually a couple of weeks ago, he was saying, you know, nobody at school wants to play with me. And that usually is just like one day something happened. This is how 4-year-olds work. But that really like hurt my heart. And so the next morning when we talked that night, but the next morning I told him the story about me and how I gained my confidence when I was younger. And so I have my rubber band that I wear around my wrist. And I told him the story about this. And I said, but I have one for you. Do you want it?
Aww.
And so he said, yeah. And I said, so we'll work on this together, right? So that when you get nervous, we'll snap our bands, and then we'll do something that really scares us. And he goes, okay, I can do that. And so the next day we happened to be going on to a flight, and I prepped him before saying, okay, bud, I want you to go in there and say hi to the pilot and say it really loudly.
Oh, how cute.
And he starts pulling on his band.
He's nervous, yeah.
So this whole week while we were in Chicago, he was doing this. He was pulling on his rubber band. Plus, he was around all these older kids, and his confidence was boosted because he was doing new things and trying new things and like playing with new kids. So his confidence was like through the roof already. And so yesterday, I took him to this new preschool to try out that's closer to our house because it's a pain in the ass to drive half an hour to
go.
Yeah,
my God.
Anyway, I said, just try this. Anyway, and I said, when we walked into class, snap your bracelet. And he goes, okay. And he sat down. I stayed there for 10 minutes. Then I left, and I left him there for 3 hours. And I came back and I said, bud, did you have fun? He goes, and he's like, yes, I had a really good time. I want to go back tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Aww.
I said, wait, that's cool. And then he took off his rubber band. He goes, I don't need this anymore.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then he said to me, he's like, oh, mom, I got confidence when I was 4. It took you so long to get. And I was like, that is amazing. I honestly, it was like the best feeling in the entire world that he had this. But the fact that even my thing that I used when I was 20 helped him, I thought was absolutely amazing. And for people who are listening, that's the point of the story, is that there's many things that you can do to boost your confidence. But overall, doing things that scare you or put you into an uncomfortable position are the main things that elevate you to that next level. If you do not do anything, you are going to stay at your level or continue to go lower because you're going to continue to beat yourself up about not doing those things.
So before you get too far in a hole, get a rubber band and start doing it.
My kid is like already kicking your ass. He's 4 years old and his confidence is through the... He was a cocky asshole afterwards. He was like punching me into the doctor. He's punching me in front of the doctor. I'm like, who are you? But I love that he gave it back to me.
So it's when you get nervous.
Yeah.
You have to do it, but you snap yourself first, and that's your cue to do it.
It's for you to get out of your head
out of
back
it.
Into your body.
Okay.
Because when you know that when you're overwhelmed and nervous, like you go on stage, you have to do things all the time that put you into an uncomfortable position. So you get all floaty in your head and you can't think of anything. It's not even like your like mind is racing. Your mind just goes blank.
Mm-hmm.
So what the snapping does is it triggers you to get back into your body and take control over something that you can control. And you snap it, and I say that you just go 3, 2, 1, go, whatever it is that you're thinking of doing. So if you're thinking of saying something or you're thinking of taking an action, you just do it.
After. How's your wrist looking? Is it a little scarred up?
Look at this.
Oh, yeah. A forever mark.
Yeah, seriously. But now I have 2 of them on my wrist. I'll pass it on to my next son, although he will definitely.
Yeah, I think he doesn't need it. You can tell.
Yeah, he's totally fine.
Well, that is so cute. I love that story so much.
How far are we into the show? How much more time do we have?
We're at 40 minutes or 43 minutes.
I think we should stop here. I think we're done.
That was a lovely story. It was very, we don't normally go the adorable style.
No, but that was pretty
adorable. But that was adorable.
Yeah, but like a good story too that actually makes sense for our show. I don't like to talk that much about my children. But yes, But if you guys have questions, please send them in to ask@askwomenpodcast.com. Again, we're going to do more episodes like this where we do try to answer questions from our listeners so that we can actually get through some of them. We have a lot of questions that are unanswered and I feel really bad, but hopefully, you know, these questions get answered. Asked over and over again, just in a different form. So hopefully, if you have submitted a question that we haven't responded to, there has been a show or something's been asked that's similar to what you've asked, and we've tackled it for you. But this, I like this show. I like doing shows when it's just you and I.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And we will get this echo issue fixed. We'll figure out a way so that there isn't so much echo in the room.
I think today's better.
Yeah, it is.
Just because I have it turned down so low.
Perfect. Okay, I'm sweating now in this.
I'm sweating.
So well, because it's going to be 105 today or something. Oh. And we don't have our air conditioner on right now because it would make too much noise. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to our show. Please share this show with others. I know maybe it's embarrassing sharing this show because you're like, I have problems with women. Maybe you do too. But just know that other people can gain so much to listening to the advice that we offer and give onto the show. Also, if you have a recommendation of somebody that you want to hear on this show, please email us ask@askwomenpodcast.com so that we can have more ideas for guests, because I am getting tapped out.
I mean, we're at what, 287 or 90 episodes?
Yeah, and we don't do call-ins anymore. So it's like very hard to find good, interesting people in Los Angeles.
It's hard.
But if you have people and recommendations, please send them over. Do you have anything to promote? Oh, your banter book is going to come out soon.
Yes. I'm planning on sending it to you tonight.
Okay.
It's going to be a fun 4th of July. Okay. Just sitting there finishing this. I don't know where you can get that. You have to ask Marnie, but
it'll be in a couple of months, but it'll be up on my website. I'll announce it to people who are on my newsletter list. If you're not on my newsletter list, please go to winggirlmethod.com and sign up for it. And then I'm sure in some way, Kristen will have it available on her website as well, which is
kristencarney.com/datinghelp.
Perfect. New episodes of the Ask Women podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. And sometimes I usually post it earlier, but that is definitely when it will be up there. Do not be in.
If I'm in charge right now of the editing, which I am, it won't be earlier.
I know. It's like crunch time. I'm like, get it up, you fucking idiot.
Well, because my show also comes out every Thursday.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. So it's crunch time for me every Thursday.
Oh, seriously. Well, we'll have our editor back soon because he's getting a new computer and he will be able to properly edit. But don't be an idiot. Do not go and download individual episodes. Please go and subscribe so that you just get them automatically sent to you or delivered to you or whatever else is happening through the cloud. I don't know. But yes, you guys are awesome and wonderful and amazing, and we will see you next week.